Thanks so much for joining us today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. We're going to turn our attention now to the beauty of bonsai. Bonsai is a Japanese art of growing and shaping miniature trees in containers. They're amazing works of art, and we'll talk with him today about, with Kevin, our guest, Kevin Stavakan, who is owner of Wisconsin Bonsai. We'll talk with Kevin about how to grow them, a little about the mystery surrounding the growing of bonsai. It's something we can do, and maybe you have an interest in starting a bonsai. What questions do you have? Have you tried before but didn't have success? Love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Kevin Stavakan, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me on, and I want to thank you for the correct pronunciation of the last name. I would just like to throw one correction, though. It's Wisco Bonsai, not Wisconsin.
Wisco Bonsai. I should have, Bonsai. I should have known that. I did know it.
No worries.
Just spoke it. How'd you get interested in bonsai?
Well, I've always had a lot of cool house plants, and I also had a sculpture studio, and I'm going to make this long story very short, but one day a guy walked into our office with one of his tropical bonsai trees to overwinter it in his office, and I just happened to walk by, happened to see it. It blew my mind, and that was all there was to it.
And now we have, and now you own Wisco Bonsai. Tell us about it.
Well, I wanted to have a shop where we folks could come and get all your basic supplies for bonsai. Wisconsin never had, I shouldn't say never, Wisconsin has not had a dedicated bonsai shop in a long time. And so I saw the need, and I wanted to fill that little niche.
Well, Kathleen in Madison has a question for us already. Let's just turn there. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, I'm so glad to get to ask a bonsai question. I have 8 little gamble oaks in 2-gallon grow pots, and the gamble oaks actually come from up in the Uinta Mountains, and so they stay really small, and they don't tend to get any bigger than 25 feet, and that's pretty rare. So I saw one of them sticking straight out of a cliff for 6 feet before it turned up towards the sun, and I'm like, I want to do that miniature. So I brought a bunch of those acorns back home, and so I have these little eight guys that have made it since last year, and I'm just wondering the best way to overwinter them so that they, other than protecting them from chipmunks, anything else you could recommend?
Well, sheltered for sure. In a garage or a shed or anywhere like that, they won't need light. Once they drop their leaves, they're all done with photosynthesis for the year. So your main thing is shelter out of the winds. The winds will really desiccate your trees if left outside. So I would protect those in, like I said, a garage or a shed. And another real quick note. Now, it sounds like you grew those from the acorns, right?
Yes, I did.
Congratulations on that. However, they are going to take a really long time to put any girth on them in a pot. If you wanted to, you could plant those in the ground for a few years, maybe 2 or 3 years, and let them bulk up on the trunk. That's one thing that I would recommend, because they will stay thin and spindly in a grow pot for way longer than they would in the ground.
Oh, that makes some sense.
We can. Yep.
Yeah. Go ahead. Okay. I'm sorry, Kevin.
No, I'm sorry. We can't get a fat trunk on a bonsai, on a short tree, without growing that trunk up first and then chopping it down for deciduous trees like the lake and oak.
Kathleen, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. So what trees typically are used in growing bonsai?
Anything at all, really. The only real eliminating factor of a species would be leaf size. So some of our native trees, like our sugar maples and things like that, they have really, really big leaves, which look ridiculous on a tiny tree. So any tree that will allow us to get the leaf smaller over time through our techniques will make good bonsai. So all your elms, your maples, I'm looking around here, of course, all your evergreens, junipers, pines.
They will all really work.
Yeah, any species. There's very few species that do not work.
Can you tell us about the history of, and this is a Japanese art form, is it not?
Well, eventually it was, just as eventually it's a North American art form. it started in China with Penjing, and now there's actually some evidence showing that it probably started in India before even China, because there's depictions from back then of potted trees. So bonsai just means tree in pot or tree in tray. So it likely started in India, then China got a hold of it, and they did Penjing, which is more landscape-based. Very interesting looking, but usually not a single tree in a pot. It's usually several trees forming more of a landscape. And then Japan got a hold of it, and it became what we now know as bonsai.
Oh. It's very interesting. I think the history of it had something to do with simplicity and minimalism, and they make for a striking addition to any home, for sure.
Yeah, well, that's also kind of one of the misconceptions that folks have, though, is having them in the home. These trees have to be outside, spring, summer, fall. They are not houseplants. They don't do well in the house. Now, of course, some of the tropical ones, we have to bring them in the winter into the house as opposed to cold storage. So there's that to consider.
Yeah, I guess I was just reacting to it. I mean, most of the photos, you look at a photo of bonsai and it's always in the house or, in a building. And so I guess that's why we think that.
Yeah, we'll bring them in for display purposes, and they will survive indoors, but they won't thrive. No. And the bonsai needs to be thriving with all of its pistons firing for us to do any of the work on them that we like to do, whether it be pruning of the foliage, pruning of the roots, bending of the branches with wire, all of that sort of thing. The tree needs to be 100% vibrant. Pulsing with energy, something we won't get from indoor growth.
Yeah. Kevin in Oregon has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Kevin.
Hello.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I have a Japanese, I think it's a juniper, and I have not overwintered it. I kept it outside in the summer, but I bring it in inside and do the trimming right now. But I'm a little, I guess you answered a little bit about what's the consequence of not wintering the plant. And also I have a ginseng ficus, and I'm wondering, it's doing really well after I repotted it, but is there any overwintering that you do with that variety?
All right, so first of all, the juniper. The juniper, you're wondering how to really overwinter that, right?
I understand that. Yes, and what's the consequence of not doing it?
Right, the consequence. So not letting it ever get a hibernation period or a dormancy period will be just like us not getting sleep. Its health will slowly deteriorate. It'd be fine 1 year, maybe 2 years, skipping a dormancy, but then you will definitely see its health just decline and decline and decline. They really need that time to rest. They've spent all spring, summer, and into the fall developing resources for next year, and they're holding on to those resources, and they need to rest during the winter time so that they can then continue their physiological cycle next year with using those resources that they were storing up, and then going into the end cycle at the end of the year, again, to go back into dormancy. So it's just like us with sleep. All right. Mm-hmm. And then as far as the ginseng ficus, just that I would not let it get, you know, below 45 or 50 outside overnight lows, and then bring it in for the season.
Kevin, does that help?
Yes, it does. I just don't want to have any long-term damage by not caring correctly. So this is helpful.
Yeah,
thank you.
No. And you're in Oregon, so you know, your climate is much different than ours. Your tree might, depending on where in Oregon you are, might be fine just outside without being necessarily sheltered. I don't think you, depending on where you are, you don't get 20 below zero, do you?
No, Oregon, Wisconsin. So
Oregon, Wisconsin. I thought, oh man, someone's calling all the way from Oregon. okay, never mind. So yeah, you do get 20 below. So yes, I would definitely shelter that in a garage or a shed or something like that. So if you can give it a little light, like with a garage window, that would be fine. But if it doesn't get any light, that's okay too. Conifers, they'll use a little light over the winter if they can get it. But like I said, it's not critical.
Kevin, there you go. Thanks for calling. You can join in too. Number to call 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or email to talk@WPR.org. Talking bonsai right now with Kevin Staviken, owner of Wisco Bonsai. Bonsai, I should say. Thanks for listening in. And I'm Larry Mueller, and you are listening to Garden Talk on WPR News. Coming up on Monday on the program, we'll be talking about our state's historical markers, and we'll also be catching up on news from the Driftless region. Right now, we're talking about bonsai with our guest, Kevin Staviken, who is owner of Wisco Bonsai. Great to have him with us. And callers online, you can join in, by the way. It's 800-642-1234 or email to talk@WPR.org. Janice in Antioch, Illinois. Thank you for joining in. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to let you know a comment. I lived in Japan between 65 and 67, and one of my students took us to see the emperor's bonsai trees, and some of them were like 400 years old. So how do you keep them that long? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I thank you very much, Janice, for calling. And 400 years old, and these trees can these bonsais can live a long time.
Yeah, and the way that we keep them living as long as we do is we never let them reach a point of stasis like they do in nature. In nature, a tree will grow and it'll reach its maximum potential and have nothing further to do, at which point it starts to decline and die. With bonsai, we are constantly giving the tree something new to do and not allowing it to reach its point of stasis or natural maxed out growth. So every year or two, not every year, every couple few years, we're pruning the roots. Well, now that foliage has a job to do by growing new roots. When we prune the top, the roots have a job to do, grow a new top. So by constantly giving the tree a job to do, it has a reason to keep living. And so there are some that have been in pots for well over 400 years. We have no idea how long that we can keep a tree alive in a pot.
Yeah.
It could be the human concept of forever. We just don't know.
Janice, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. So it's either trimming the branches or the roots.
Yeah, that's just
keep it working.
It to do. Yep, keep it working. Keep giving it a job to do. Give it a reason to live.
Janice, thanks again. Christopher in Green Bay, thank you for calling.
Rosemary plant as a source. I know the Ulbrecht Gardens display at the Garden Expo has a rosemary plant that's been shaped for many years, I think 10 years old at least. Any suggestions on working with that?
Can you work with woody plants like rosemary?
Absolutely. I had a killer rosemary that I unfortunately lost last year by trying to give it a little bit different dormancy, a little bit harder dormancy than it liked. And so I eventually lost that one. But I had a rosemary for going on 8-9 years, and that was a heartbreaker to lose, and I lost it because of my own stupidity. But yeah, so don't overwinter them in a garage, even if you do keep it above freezing. they want to come inside over the winter. Yeah,
they want to come inside. Christopher, thank you very much for calling. Joe in Durand, Wisconsin, your turn. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Larry, thanks for connecting me to this guy. I have a question about bonsai. I have a black walnut that's about 4 inches in diameter, and the form of it I really like. And I'm wondering if there's a limit on sizes that you can air prune to create a bonsai.
Oh, you're talking about air layering it off of an existing tree. You've got a 4-inch limb that you want to take off of an existing tree?
Yes, sir. And I look at it, and it just looks like it's an amazing bonsai waiting to happen.
Yeah. So I've not really heard of a diameter limit on taking an air layer off of a tree. 4 inches sounds super doable. If you look at Graham Potter's videos on YouTube, he's in England. He's air layering stuff 10, 12 inches across.
And what was his name again?
Graham Potter.
Graham Potter. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, as far as timing goes on that, you know, once the leaves harden off in the spring, you're good to go. Throw that air layer on, and then three months later or so, you should have a packet full of roots.
Ah. Joe, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. I like, I guess when you see a bonsai, it's never, at least I've never noticed one to be just sort of straight up and down. They're always curved in one fashion or another, and that's part of it, isn't it? And how do you get those curves and looks?
Well, part of it, the desire for that kind of a look is to show a tree that has struggled and persevered and things like that. And that's done with wiring a trunk, wrapping wire around it, and bending it when it's young. And then it'll hold that shape throughout the rest of its life. But we do have actually quite a number, but there is a very effective, just formal upright style that is a very straight tree. And those can be so beautifully elegant as opposed to the ones that are bent and look like they've gone through hell and back in during their life. The very straight tall ones offer their own elegance and image of perseverance, like a big, tall, straight tree in the middle of a farm field. Those can be just as fetching as some tortured thing hanging off a cliff.
What are your thoughts?
It's all in the eye.
So what are your thoughts on kits?
On what kits?
On kits, K-I-T-S.
Kits. Don't bother. Don't bother with any bonsai kit. If someone wants to start out, I mean, if you're a little kid, you can grow a seed. Matter of fact, one of my trees that I do have is a guy sent away to the back of either Playboy or Rolling Stone or some magazine back in 1984, roll a bonsai tree, and he got this tiny little stick in the mail. And here it is. And I've got that tree now. Now it's massive and it's big. But if you're going to send away for a kit, you're going to get a little tiny seed. It's going to take forever for that seed to grow. You're better off just go to your local garden center, grab a juniper, and go at it with that. You're way better off because you've already got the trunk grown. You've got all that foliage to work with. You're not twiddling your thumbs for 5 years just watching a tree try to grow. Because people who want to get into bonsai, mostly they don't want to sit and do nothing and just watch something grow. They want to do things.
Yeah.
So that's why I suggest going to the garden center and getting yourself a nice little juniper to go at.
Somebody else emailed on containers. What advice do you have for selecting containers?
Oh, boy. that's a really broad question, really broad question. You know, some simple guidelines are unglazed for conifers is very popular. Glazed for deciduous trees. Like you can put like a nice maple in a blue pot. That always looks nice. But other than that, you know, it's all depends on the tree. It's so individual to each tree, which is why as bonsai practitioners, we have 2 to 3 times as many trees, as many pots as we do trees.
Kevin, what service do you provide through Wisco Bonsai?
Oh, well, besides carrying everything that people need for bonsai, I also offer classes one-on-one. I offer group classes. I have workshops. This year I had a big open house with live music and everything else. And so I try to make things fun for people that come here because if it's not fun, why do it? So I'm not a stodgy practitioner. I'm probably one of the more irreverent bonsai practitioners out there.
Go ahead.
I would say I like rules only so I can bend them. Things like that. Yeah.
And you're located in Sussex.
Yeah, I am. Yep. Waukesha County.
Waukesha County. So you're near some pretty heavy population areas for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And if anyone would ever like to know what I've got going on, I don't do it on my website or anything like that. My website is woefully out of date. But if anyone wants to send an email to wiscobonsai@gmail.com, I'll add you to the mailing list, and you'll be the first to know when I'm offering classes, workshops, whatever.
All right. That's good to repeat that once again.
Wisco Bonsai. wiscobonsai@gmail.com. Just you can say, hey, throw me on your mail list and I'll do it.
All right. And we'll post that up on our page, Larry Mueller Show page.
Cool.
So that people can, if they didn't get it written down, they can go to today's date and we'll have that in the comments section of the show. Perry in Oconto, what's on your mind?
A quick question. I have a Norfolk pine that some of the needles or whatever on the very ends are kind of dying off. Should I trim those, leave them? And then does it need to be like a clay pot for that or not?
Well, those Norfolk pines, I'm not real familiar with them, but I don't think they like a heavy dormancy, they wouldn't survive outdoors in Wisconsin. So my initial thought would be, yes, that would need to come inside for the winter. And I see other people with Norfolk pines in their house 365 days a year, and they do just fine. So that's where I would go with that. Bring them in the winter. What was the other part of your question?
Perry, what was your? Did you have another part to your question?
Yeah, do I trim those dying needles? The ends or not?
So you say the dying needles are at the tips or at inside on the branches?
At the tips of the branches.
Oh, huh. I would say that you could probably trim those back. You might want to having browning at the tips is a little. Maybe concerning, nothing I could diagnose over the phone, but typically at this time of year, your pines will be losing their third year needles, meaning the older needles further in on the branch. The new ones at the tip of the branch shouldn't really be browning. So that could be a water issue, maybe not enough water, Maybe I'm not going to say sunlight. Again, without seeing it, it's really hard to guess on that. It may be as simple as just a little bit not enough water or a little bit too dry of air.
Oh, okay. Perry?
Norfolk Island, I'm quite sure, is pretty misty. Pretty damp.
Thank you so much, Perry, for that question. And Kevin Staviken, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I appreciate it. Time flew by, and hopefully we can do this again. Thank you.
I'd be glad to do it again. This was fun.
Kevin Staviken, owner of Wisco Bonsai, our guest today. It was great to have him with us, and we can talk about it again. Lots of interest there, and it was fun talking with him. Always fun meeting together with my gang of people here for our show, producers Clara Neipert and Joel Patnott, our technical directors, Jeff Robbins and Lee Rayburn, and of course our executive producer is Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller, and again, thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, and stay with us. Lots in store here on WPR News.